Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Let's switch it over. This is the song that was supposed to play. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Dr. Catherine May's Blog Talk Radio Program Channel Panel. Today is Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015, and tonight we have our host, Dr. Catherine May, and joining us is Divine Mother telling the story of the fall of the Archangel Sisters and the true story of the original fall of the people of planet Earth, which is nothing like what we have been taught in the past. She will share with us for the first time the tragic and poignant story of love, passion, and heartbreak, which simultaneously resulted from and further fueled the descent into darkness of planet Earth. It is a story of valiant courage, misplaced loyalty, love of children, and the seduction of darkness. This is Meg, your co-host, for the program calling in from the Temple of Light, with Catherine, Christine, Faith, and Jade, and all our precious animals in her home in New York. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Meg. Thank you. Well, this is an amazing and in some ways difficult program to do because the emotions are so strong. The story is so astonishing and so filled with light and information and the most profound teachings for all of us. Let me begin by inviting you all to join us in the Temple of Light. I want to tell you a little bit about what it's like to be here. First, I should say, I'm Catherine. My website is Who Needs Light. So when we finish this show tonight, I will be posting a very remarkable message from Mother about the things we're discussing tonight. She said she would give the story, the outline of the story and the facts, in written form. And then tonight, she will tell more about the feelings and the way these events came about. So, take a deep breath. Be ready to join us in the amazing story of what we have called the fall of planet Earth. And I can assure you it's not what you thought it was. So Mother is going to give us some real information about it. This follows upon weeks now, months of being here in the Temple of Light that we established during the retreat we had in New York. The week before, wasn't it? The week before. Mm-hmm. So it's been a couple of months now that we have been living in the surface Temple of Light. And you're all invited, anyone who wants to can join, to help us to witness what goes on here, to add your energy and your love. It's hard to describe, but I can tell you, for starters, that what we experience is that we are in constant contact with Mother and Father, with our twin flames, our beloved masters and angels who watch over us. And because both Christine and I were going through a healing process, we have also been attended by the White Brotherhood and some marvelous healing teams. I had hoped Christine would be joining us on the call tonight, but she's here listening, and she has had a tremendous amount of pain that has to do with the healing process that she's been going through. So we're hoping tomorrow is going to be the turnaround. She's already looking better. But Christine has taught us a lot about grace and how to live through weeks upon weeks of constant pain and still remain completely in the light, cheerful, beaming, and in absolute happiness, even though she's also in terrible pain. So I want you all to know that thanks to Christine, we have a living example right here in the temple of how it's done. She's really been an inspiration. I had some troubles healing too, but I wasn't in as much pain as she is. So it was an easier process for me. But she is just proving to us this truly important lesson that we have discussed this week, that we are made in love. It is our essence. And when you tap into that essence, when you accept that we are the children of God and are blessed in every possible way, then you can remain in love and in the light of Mother and Father's blessings and go through whatever happens, whatever you experience, whatever you see, whatever you witness, whatever you feel. You can ride it out. So if you have an event that causes you sadness, you remain in the state where you are love, you are joy, you are the intelligent and present representation of God on earth, and on top of it, you feel sad, or you feel pain, or you feel anguish, or whatever happens to be the moment. But beneath it all, you have a foundation, a true foundation that you can hold on to. And that is the knowledge that we are born in the image of Mother and Father. And that means we're strong. And we prevail. No matter what happens in our present moment or in the rest of the world around us, whatever's going on, we can remain steady. So those of you who look around you and say, oh, there's terrible pain in the world and I can't stand it, and I'm angry and frustrated about how things nothing seems to be happening, people are suffering, how can you be so Pollyanna? Well, it's not Pollyanna, it's foundation. It's living in the foundation of love and strength that we came here with. We all are capable of this because we're all made of the same good stuff. And when you anchor in your body, in your soul, in your knowledge that you are connected to the company of heaven, to Mother and Father, to your ancestors and friends and all of those who are overseeing your life here, you will never feel alone. You will never fall into despair or depression. No matter how much pain comes your way, you can ride it out and know that there is always another day. And by the way, speaking of another day, we are on the verge. We can feel it here in the Temple of Light. The energies are just pouring down on us. The light, the feelings of expectation and excitement are just filling the air. We know there is something wonderful coming, or maybe many wonderful things coming. So we're anticipating relief first, joy, surprises, and great excitement as all our dreams really are going to come true. And we're going to share it together. We're going to be supporting one another. We're going to be cheering and celebrating and sharing our experiences, our knowledge, helping each other in ways to make the most of these wonderful times that are coming as we work together to help one another to really change the atmosphere on planet Earth. It is here. It is not coming. It is already here. So that's a brief update from the Temple of Light. I can tell you that we have seen enormous and astonishing changes as we brought elementals and I think I should refer to some of the ones here who've been here. I'm still in a daze at what's happened. We have seen.
I can help out.
Okay. Faith is our secretary. She remembers everything. It's been such an astonishing week that I can hardly begin to describe what we've witnessed here. But I can tell you it is all amazing and good. So let's see what Faith can fill you in on.
Here, Faith.
Hello, everybody. Well, as she said, we did a lot this week and every other week. So some of the beings that came through the Temple of Light were, as she said, the elements, the pixies, the fairies, what happened? Oh, yes, the minerals, the fauna, all the animal kingdoms came through, and we discussed with them, and they talked with us, and they expressed their feelings, and we were able to come up with ways to help them. This is truly amazing. It makes me choke up. We talked to every molecule of creation, actually, to discuss with them how the darkness took over, how they really feel inside, and help them to come back to their original form. Did I say that properly?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we've been doing a lot. And I think that just about covers everything in the big scheme. There's plenty more, of course, but that really gets the big to the very small details.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Catherine.
Thank you, Faith. That really was great. She witnessed all of this. And the young people with us here are becoming so open and so psychic that they can see everything that we see. We all share it together, and it's just amazing as we're all narrating what we see. We compare notes with each other and are constantly astonished when everybody's seeing the same thing. So probably the most important event of all, early in the week, happened when the Archangel Sisters, whose story we will hear tonight from Mother God, the higher selves of the Archangel Sisters came to the Temple of Light. So I'm not going to go into the details now of what happened then, but I can tell you that all the beings of darkness that have inhabited the earth, all the higher selves have come to the Temple of Light. As you know from last week, the Archon Alliance has come to the Temple of Light. Earlier, as all of you know, the higher selves of those that we call the Cabal on this planet came to the light. And there are many, many light workers now working valiantly to get through to their body souls, their earth incarnations, to turn them around. We can't just eliminate them. We don't wipe out people. But what we do is to try to get through. And so there are wonderfully imaginative methods being used to help these dark ones to open a crack in their armor so that they will generate light, so that they will turn to the light, so that they will make the decisions to improve the organizations, the projects, the institutions that they have built. So in the long run, you can see why this was a good plan on the part of Mother and Father and our company of heaven, because who can turn things around faster than the people who are in charge, even if they are dark? So I've gotten a number of comments from people saying, well, how come they get the special treatment while we get just left in the dust? Well, of course that's not the case. That's not at all what's happening in the Temple of Light. And I assure you, if you were one of these dark cabal people, you would not really be begging to come to the Temple of Light, because it is not fun for them. They came because they had no other choice. And that's been the case with most of the ones who came to the light. Now, of course, the elementals, the animals, the elements, the minerals all came to be healed. They didn't come because they were dark, but because they had been touched by the darkness on Earth, and they wanted to be healed. So that was a thrilling thing to watch. And along the way, we talked with those animals that are, and the devas of those animals, the ones who are now predators and meat eaters, and we organized a council for them to meet with the fauna and the flora, and all together to plan the shift that will occur in their bodies that will allow them to live on plant life. It will be gradual, but with the plants and the animals working together, they will establish a way in which the animals can also shift along with us. As we stop eating meat, they will too. And so very soon there will be no beings on planet Earth who will be eating their brothers and sisters. So we encourage you to join us in the Temple of Light, where we understand that the healthiest, most loving diet you can possibly consume is plants, fruits, nuts, and those beautiful plants that have offered their food to us to sustain and nourish us. And as we learn new ways of growing these plants and new ways of appreciating them, their power, their energy nourishment will increase. So there is no need for us anymore, as our bodies are changing. There is no need for us to eat meat any longer, because our bodies are becoming lighter and lighter, and actually eating any kind of meat decreases your energy, lowers your vibration. So there is no reason really any longer to eat meat. So I really encourage everyone, go to Meg if you want some advice on nutrition. She has information on her website. We're going to be posting recipes of the wonderful things that Christine and the girls here are making for us. And I can tell you, there is no sacrifice in being a vegan. When you taste some of the divine, delicious, exciting dishes that these angels are cooking up, I wouldn't go back for a minute, not for anything, because everyone feels great. Everyone is healthy and strong. We don't even think about illness here. There's no such thing. So I can promise you, healthy organic food cooked with love, that's really the key. Cooked with love and the right spices and fun in the kitchen, you're going to be a different person. All of you are going to be different people. So that's just a little introduction. There's so much here to tell. I can't possibly fill you in to all of it, but the story will be told gradually as we send out messages. You'll be learning about all the things that happened here. and we're working hard to send out transcripts of these shows and translations of the messages as well. We're getting better organized, so we will have translations available on the website. The transcriptions are coming out every week. We have people helping, and it's brilliant. We also have our shows now on YouTube, and with lots and lots of people following us in that way. So the word is getting out. Also, I want to thank everyone who has sent us donations. We are truly appreciative and grateful for your help. You, I know, have sensed how round the clock this is for us, and how with five or six of us working constantly, we are just pedal to the metal, working hard here. So we are so grateful for your help and appreciative of all the people who have sent their contributions, from the smallest to the largest. Everyone means so much to us. Because I was laid up for a while, I haven't been able to send thank yous to everyone who helped us. But I want you all to know you are in our hearts, and we send our gratitude to you. So thank you all. Now, tonight, we're going to hear from some really interesting and exciting people. Mother is going to come and tell the story, and she has said that afterwards Sananda will talk to us and tell us a little more about the details of what she's revealing tonight. And we have our beloved Meg, who is here with us and is going to tell us her story. So we may run over tonight because it's going to be an amazing show. I think that since Mother has already offered a written statement, a written message about these things, that she may not go into as much detail on the show, so that you can get the details in the written message. And that way we can tell you more about the feeling part and the emotional things that have happened over the past few million years on planet Earth. We're not going to tell the whole history tonight, but this will be the second episode of this story of how darkness came to planet Earth. And the third episode, which we will do next week, and I'm already writing the message to go with that episode, will be the hitting bottom in the dark, and how we started the rise back into the light, and how we are now at the apex, the bursting point, where we're just under the surface of the water and we're about to leap through like the dolphins and the whales do, into the light with such celebration that what has happened now in your lifetime and mine will just become a part of the history of where planet Earth used to be. So I think we'll do it in the order of first Mother, and then Sananda, and then we're going to hear from Meg. And if Christine feels up to it, she can speak too. We'll see how she feels. I'm sending her big waves of love here, so she'll feel better. So I'm going to turn this. Meg is right here next to me. She's going to help with the board, so anyone who's called can, I hope we'll have time after Meg that we can talk with Luis. Luis, if you're here, we'll be able to talk with you if you raise your hand when toward the end of the show. That means you press 1 on your dial. If you can, I think you're here on Skype. I think I feel your, I see your number. I feel your presence. Hi, Luis. So our beloved Luis is calling in from Paraguay, and he had a fascinating experience this week in which he was introduced by mother and father and his higher self and his twin flame to what it feels like to have a moment that is the snap in which you move into darkness. And he described it to me in such an eloquent way that it was very profound, and I think will be a wonderful teaching moment for everyone here. If we have time, if we should run out of time, we will definitely continue next week, because there's a lot to talk about. Okay, so I'm going to, here's my dear Meg, who's right next to me. So I'm going to get ready to hear from Mother, and I'll let her make the little transition and say hello to you again.
Thank you, Catherine. All right, we'll just let you take a sip of water and... Oh, and for those of you who were on with us at the beginning of the show, we played the Copacabana by Barry Manilow, and that is part of our story tonight. So listen for the connections from Mother God, and we'll talk more about that. All right, we'll let Catherine connect to our Divine Mother, who is right here with us. So everybody reach up.
Hello, dear ones. Yes, it's Mother. I am so happy to be here with you. I feel your presence strongly. We are here in the Temple of Light. We invite all of you, as Catherine said, to be a part of this, for you are the story of planet Earth, just as everyone else here is. You have all taken part in this dramatic and often amazing and a profound, well, years and years of lessons for all of you. You have come through it stronger, although many of you are not yet aware of your real strength, the real grit, you might say, that you have developed by being a part of this. And as you awaken and come into the light and take hold of that foundation that Catherine described, you become stronger by the moment. So strengthen your connections to us, beloved ones. Feel that golden thread that comes down the Temple of Light, where we pour the honey right down through your crown and into your bodies, and it becomes no longer a thread, but a tremendous channel of light that flows through you into Mother Terra and fills you with warmth, love, excitement, and hope. Because that is how we feel. That is how we experience what we see happening on Earth. Yes, there are details that still contain some darkness. Those are the ones that your news programs talk about. But the light on the planet is increasing moment by moment. And this, beloved ones, is because of you. You are the ones who are raising the light. You are the ones who are creating the change on your planet. It is an odd concept for some of you when you're just beginning to listen to these messages and to learn about your spirituality and your connection to us. the idea that raising your own vibration could change the political environment and the social structures on your planet, it seems an odd idea. But that's only because you have been so far away from the higher dimensions. You have spent so much time in the denseness and the darkness that you lost track of how important you are. You've lost track of what we are teaching you these days, which is about the law of the circle. The circle is the one you describe as what comes around, what goes around comes around, I think you call it. What you reap, you sow. Well, that's usually known as karma. But there is a much more important and deeper meaning. And one of the things that we agreed to this week that has not been mentioned yet was the agreement which our Catherine and Christine asked for, that we change the way the law of the circle is felt on planet Earth, and that it become a direct mirroring so that cause and effect are felt more immediately. You may have noticed it in your own lives. The events, everything happens so quickly. When you put out a feeling, it comes back to you immediately and sometimes multiplied. That is purposeful. So we tell you, all of you light workers, beloved ones who are listening, you will be feeling this, and I hope you will celebrate with us. It does increase the difficulty somewhat. We've raised the bar, you might say, so that every feeling, every thought you create will have a greater impact on your environment and therefore on yourself. Every love vibration you emit will bounce off the one who receives it and come back to you geometrically increased. Now we have calibrated that individually. So some of you who are already in the light and who are generating great light will feel it more intensely. And you will see your gifts coming back to you, your blessings, your joy, reverberating all around you with great power. Those of you who are just awakening have had the intensity of the reactions you feel around you increased, but that will be done gradually. So you won't be shocked or stunned suddenly by what's happening around you, but you will feel that what you do now is of increasing importance. What you think, what you feel, what you say, and what you do will increase geometrically, day by day. Watch for it. You'll see it happening. You'll see the friends around you who say, oh, I don't know why my life is so miserable. I got angry at my husband the other day, and then the ceiling fell in. It may not be quite so graphic as that. Or the dog bit someone. It's that kind of thing. The energies that you send out are so important. Now, with that said, I wanted to warn you all, of course, because you're so attentive and so ready to work with this, that it's going to have a tremendous effect on the planet. And we know that you're listening from all over the world. So this is a wonderful thing that you're all aware and will pass on this this message to those who you think will benefit from it. And of course, everyone is going to be interested in the story, the real history of what happened and why planet Earth became dark in the first place. I began with the story in the message last week to tell you about the beginnings of what came about. It was a time of the great shift. Millions of years ago, when all of the universe was ready to raise itself into a higher vibration, a higher dimension. All those who had worked toward their own ascensions were going to be experiencing the next step up the ladder. It's a very profoundly exciting time, and everyone wants to be there and be included. Well, there were some planets still in your universe and some in your solar system where the people of the planets had toyed with darkness, had eventually become very embroiled in conflict, in dark feelings, and at the same time had developed powerful technologies. Read my message from last week, dear ones. Catherine will send it, has already sent it out. You will find it on the website. That's Who Needs Light. It's WhoNeedsLight.org. That's right, isn't it, Christine? Yes, that's right. This week's message will pick up where we left off. Let me set the stage by telling you once again of the heroic and loving and generous offer that the people of planet Earth made for their brothers and sisters who were about to be left behind during the shift. Now, the people of planet Earth, humankind, as you know yourselves now, had established a beautiful society, a very highly functioning, loving society where darkness was completely unknown. The children of planet Earth lived in what you now hear about as paradise. It was called the Garden of Eden. The people here lived in great joy and celebration, and were working their way toward being the creators who would join us in the great project that is creation. For all of you are born with elements, abilities to create as we do. Our children were being trained in the ways of creating beauty, pleasure, artistic projects, creations of all kinds to make life more interesting, fun, exhilarating, and so that everyone, every single being on the planet was experiencing the thrill and the fulfillment of being creators in their own ways, it was a glorious golden age on planet Earth. When the children of planet Earth found out that many of their brothers and sisters would be left behind during the shift, they knew that they could have easily been lifted at that point into the fifth dimension, because they had already managed the experiences and the densities of the fourth dimension and were easily ready to evolve into higher dimensions. But they came to us. They talked with, first, with the leaders of their solar system, with the councils of Alpha and Omega, as your area of the galaxy is known. It was discussed. The people of planet Earth offered to invite the Dark Ones to come to planet Earth to be renewed and restored, to be taught the ways of the light. They were so sure that they could heal, because they had developed wonderful practices of healing. They were so in love with each other, with us, and with their brothers and sisters, that they could not bear the thought that some would be left behind. And in doing so, it meant that it could be eons of time before they would be able to continue their ascension. And so, with long thought and deliberation, they came to me and Father, and we talked about the possibility that they could welcome the Dark Ones to come to planet Earth to learn their ways. It would require a dispensation from us, because it meant they would be left behind during the Great Shift. And so it would be needed that we allow for a door to remain open for them to catch up and to bring their brothers and sisters with them. And so it was agreed, finally, that the people of planet Earth would accept their dark brothers and sisters, and the women of planet Earth agreed that they would give birth to the souls who had experienced darkness and who wished to come to the light and be included in the ascension. And so the project began. In order to assure the success of this project, a large number of our archangels agreed to take part. A large portion of the company of heaven, those you recognize as the archangels and masters who are communicating with you now. Here is the plan that was devised. 24 of the pairs of angels and masters, the twin flames, would take part in this massive project to bring light, to be the leaders, to ensure the success of this project. It was agreed that the women, the sisters, would come to planet Earth, some to incarnate, others as walk-ins to begin the project. And in this agreement, it was devised that the sisters who were to come to planet Earth would create between them an unbreakable vow, a golden thread, a cord that would connect them to each other, to their twin flames, and to us, and that they would descend into the lower dimension to give birth to these children. In doing so, most of the brothers agreed, well, all of the brothers agreed, to be the ones who would hold the light and would remain in the higher dimensions with the golden thread to their beloved ones and to us, and that they too would connect with each other in an unbroken tie that would assure their strength and their presence in the higher dimensions. They knew it would be difficult. They knew their twins would experience trouble, but this had never been done before. None of us had any way of really predicting or knowing how it would play out, but we knew the strength and the conviction of our beloved children. Our eldest, who were the most brilliant, well-trained, and devoted ones, loving, light-filled, and certain of their strength and their dedication to the light. And so the sisters, the women incarnated on planet Earth, and their twins remained behind to hold the light, to remain in contact with them. And their sisters also agreed that their higher selves would come down into the fourth dimension to remain in contact with them, to be close to them as they went through this difficult experience. There was a few who were allowed to go with their twins. A few who were strong and able, and the brothers who wanted to be with their beloved ones, to support and help them in this project. And so it began. The women gave birth to the children who had lived lives, whose souls had lived through many lives in darkness and torment, many who had experienced terrible abuse. And you know that the feelings of the soul, the experiences of the body that was incarnated before, continues with the soul when they incarnate again, especially when the soul has been involved in dark and violent or extremely difficult circumstances where they have committed atrocious acts. This is where the law of karma does exist. It is not punishment. I wish to repeat that to really strongly encourage you to open your minds and try to understand this. Karma is the accumulation of negative energy that a soul has produced themselves. It has nothing to do with punishment. It has nothing to do with us, except that we uphold the law. And that is that when a person, a soul, commits heinous crimes, they must return to another incarnation to change the energy, to relive, to work out, to understand, and thereby to repair and heal themselves and others, so that the dark energies do not remain and don't linger. So a lifetime in which someone comes to what you call working off karma, it really is an act of healing. It's designed to eliminate the darkness that was created in a former life, to spare that soul, that person, and the others on the planet from the lingering dark feelings that were of their own doing. So you see, there is no punishment whatsoever involved. It's only the expression of the law of the circle. People coming back to a lifetime must deal only with the dark energies that they have already created. Now, there are exceptions. Many of you came to this lifetime, this particular lifetime, to take on very difficult and challenging experiences. This had nothing to do with karma for many of you. It had everything to do with wanting to be here, first of all, and the fact that the planet was already dark, so it was inevitable that everyone would experience difficult, challenging, and sometimes very abusive experiences, because that's the way the planet was when you began your lifetimes here. And for many of you, it was in order to learn, to hone your expertise in this lifetime. Your expertise that includes, for many of you, remaining loving in spite of difficult times, learning about how to manage feelings when what is touched off could easily turn dark, learning how to manage on nothing, an environment that is in what you would call poverty circumstances. Many have come here deliberately to learn precisely that, how to remain loving, kind, a light worker, even in difficult and challenging circumstances. For that, we honor you and admire you. So many of you lightworkers have not had easy lives. I assure you, this is not because you did something wrong. It is because you are so loved and you are so ambitious. You felt you had much to learn if you were going to come to this lifetime and in one short lifetime raise the planet to the level where she is now. Now let us go back to the story. I wanted to remind you of your own experiences so that as we go through the story, you will be able to identify and understand the difficulties, the painful experiences, the truly heartfelt wish that the people of planet Earth experienced in wanting to bring their brothers and sisters to the light. Now let's go back to the sisters and their experience of getting giving birth to these children whose souls were damaged by previous lifetimes. It went fairly well at first, because of course they were surrounded with the environment of love and light, tremendous joy and pleasures. As the children grew, it became very clear that it would be challenging and difficult for these families. They had children who were unruly, inattentive. Well, you've seen those children now, the ones who have been damaged. Now, many of those who've been damaged have been exposed to toxins, like those in the vaccinations that all are being forced to submit to. The ones who came to planet Earth during this project millions of years ago were more damaged even than the ones you experience now. They were out of control, as you might say. Their connections to their hearts were faint, difficult to reach. Their brains were wired in difficult ways because of the interference of their souls. And so it took great patience and profound and unending love from their families to help them to settle down, to learn to open to love, to be able to even experience the warmth and attentive care that their parents bestowed upon them every moment of every day. As they grew, there were flashes of love and understanding, and there were moments of what you might call insolence or rebellion, unruly, uncontrolled behavior. When they went to their classes, their schooling, the lovely environments that had been set up for all of the children on planet Earth, they tended to be difficult with their fellow students. They tended to create conflicts by grabbing toys, throwing things, kicking, causing a ruckus. The teachers were patient, understanding, loving. And so they were able to contain the difficulties with these problem children. The parents were surrounded with love and light. Encouraging and supportive families, extended families, and teachers who were helpful and caring. It went fairly well until the children began to grow, began to find each other. And as some of them began to approach their teenage years, it became clear that there were real problems. The sisters, the archangels, had incarnated in places where they could remain close to one another or in contact with one another. And so their children met each other. They met others in school who were part of this valiant process. And so the children began to form a kind of culture themselves. As they grew older, they became more like gang members. Although there was no such thing there, they had no model for that. But as you know, beings of like vibration are attracted to one another. And so these children who were of a lower vibration than their own parents tended to be attracted to one another. And as they grew, they became more difficult, more troublesome, and in some ways dangerous. The parents were increasingly worried. They even began to experience feelings of fear, which had never been present before. Their concern for their own children, combined with the density of their environment, created an intensity going on, year after year, which was stressful for the parents. They clung to their light, their foundations, to each other. But it became more and more difficult. And they became more and more confused about how to deal with these children, how to protect them. Because the greatest concern for them, these children that they loved, because they were their own. They had given birth to these children and they cared for them. But they became involved in practices and activities that were increasingly dangerous. And so the mothers, constantly in contact with one another, constantly searching for answers about how to help their children, searched, reached out. And as soon as they did, you know that old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Well, in this case, the teachers who appeared were those dark ones who had been just waiting for the opportunity to, well, what you might call swoop down and move in to the small opening that they were given when the mothers, our beloved archangels, began searching for some answers to how to deal with these dark children. One who came first and was suggested as an expert by one of the friends or teachers was one called Hanran. He was a dashing figure, charismatic, and he presented himself with the credentials of one who had lived in a dark universe, the dark universe that had since been destroyed. But he very convincingly impressed upon the teachers that he understood how these children thought and what their feelings were, and how you could approach them to work with them in a very effective way. People were interested. And so a meeting was called, and the sisters, many of them, came to hear what the suggestions might be. Hanran came. And although they felt many of them, a bit uncomfortable, a bit wary about taking lessons from someone who was an outsider, who did not live in their culture, who had not lived with them in love. They also were a bit uncomfortable about looking outside themselves. They were not used to doing that. Their ways were so highly developed that they were used to listening to their own hearts, to their own higher selves, and to us, their mother and father. We did send them warnings. We encouraged their feelings of discomfort and uneasiness. But by then, they were feeling so uncomfortable and uneasy that they didn't listen. They didn't really hear that we were trying to warn them. They had become, in the space of moments, really, so concerned and then from there, upset, that they lost their stability. They lost their anchor. And what was once pure light was, how can I describe it? Became tainted in a swirling kind of conflicting energy pattern that was very confusing to them. And the more they experienced the confusion, the more confusing it became to them. And the shift was very sudden, from having been gloriously happy, joyful people, they became worried, even frightened. And what was presented to them seemed like a tantalizing explanation, a relief to know that there are those who can explain, who understand these difficult children. And so meetings began where the families came to learn how to understand these difficult children, what their feelings were, how to interpret them. And so they began their lessons in how to see that their responses, confusion, pain, even small moments of frustration, were indeed the most normal of all responses, the most expected with children like this. It was assumed that when you experienced a difficult event in your lives, that you would feel upset. Well, at this moment, as I describe the events, there is at our window a bear. It has come into the garden to scratch at the window. The women here are watching. We wish to see the bear that's outside. It's huge. A huge bear has come right to the window, the open window, and was scratching here on the house. We'll wait. We'll wait until the bear walks away. It is a black bear. We have a larger flashlight here. I'm going to call Catherine back for a moment and let her experience this event. Christine is reporting. This is Catherine. It scratched the window?
Scratched on the window, and it smashed the bird feeders that are...
It broke the bird feeders.
2 feet from
the bird feeders are right outside the window here. Well, they managed to break that one finally. I'd like to see the bear.
It was massive.
It was huge.
Oh, it was a huge bear, and
it was right...
No.
Oh, my.
Really
a massive bear has just been knocking on our window. Well, that was interesting. All right, it looks like the bear has left.
It didn't like this.
For now, it didn't get, it didn't like the bright lights in its face, probably. Don't know where it's gotten in. Or how it left. That's what it's like. They all want to come to the Temple of Light. It sounded like it was scratching on the house.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
This window opened this much?
The window was open about 3 inches. It put its nose in the window.
Yes, I saw it.
Okay. Well, while I go back to have Mother God tell this story, perhaps you can send a message to the bear.
I will.
To let it know that, yes, we're friendly, but we prefer that it not destroy things. You're not going out.
No, I'm staying in.
Okay.
They're going to communicate with the bear.
Okay. They're going to communicate with the bear.
We won't be back.
Oh.
The light just came back on.
Well, we have outdoor lights, so when the bear comes back, we might be notified. Okay, I'll call Mother back. They're going off to communicate with the bear to ask it to be less destructive. On its net. Oh, here it is. Here it is. It's right here.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, it's huge. Hang on, everybody. I'd like to see this bear. Okay, do you have the flashlight? Oh, here it is. Well, it came through. Looks like it came through the gate. It was right here.
Yes. It just walked through.
It just walked through the gate.
It's open now. There it is.
Oh, I left.
Oh, there it is down the road. It's going down the road.
It's going down the road?
Yeah, it's walking down the road. See it?
No. Come on,
it's
somebody.
It's going down the road.
There it is on the other side of there. On the schedule 6-8, yeah.
Okay. Looks like the bear has headed down to my neighbor's house. They'll all be in by now, so.
May I take a minute to communicate with
them?
I guess I.
Call Sharon.
I should have remembered to close the gate. Although it probably would have broken it with that little hook on it. Yeah, right. The bear would have taken down the whole fence. It was a very big, very mature sized bear. So, a black bear. We don't mind bears usually. They usually don't do too much damage, but this one learned how to break our bird feeders. So we're constantly devising new forms of bird feeders to keep them away from the bears, but
we
that's
keep
not
squirrels off,
easy.
But I don't know about the bear.
Right. We're good at squirrels. All right. Well, that was quite an interesting moment.
Thank you, Mother, for being so understanding.
The bear was right here about a foot and a half from where I'm standing at the window. I guess it didn't like the flashlights. I didn't get a good look into its eyes. I wish I had.
Me too.
However, I'm not inviting it back. Well, here we are in the country, as you all know by now. We've had an interesting brush with a great big black bear. All right. Well, I don't, let's see, have they already had their cubs? I think if they have, it's spring. We'll look up the date of when the bears usually, I think if they've already had their cubs, they would be with the bear. So this is probably a male bear. But we'll learn more about that in days to come. And we will work with Christine and our friend Sharon, who's an animal whisperer. Mm-hmm. And we'll put Jade on it, too. Mm-hmm. Because they're all good at communicating with animals. So we'll see if we can convince the bear to not break down things in the yard. Okay. I'm going to step aside again and let Mother come back and finish the story. I think we were up to, I was seeing the classroom and the sisters learning.
And real fear came in.
What to do about their children. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready to turn this back over to Mother. Let me get a drink of water first. And she'll continue with the story. Okay, Mother. We're ready now. Yes, dear children, here we are again. That was a very large bear. And yes, it was a male bear. He really enjoyed the bird seed. But I know that you're probably not so excited about having a big bear in your yard, especially with the animals around, your pets, who might be very upset with encountering this bear. So we'll work with him. You'll talk with the devas and negotiate with him about where he might find a better place. You might even find a place down the road where you can put some birdseed for him, so he won't have to come all the way down into your yard. There's a nice place in the open fields down the road. You might find a way to do that. And if you show him a picture of where you've left the food, he'll know that you've done it. It would be a good way of beginning the relationship that you're all going to experience with your brothers and sisters in the animal kingdom. So now let us return to our story about the sisters and their struggles and their concerns. And in a moment, the concern and attention that they were focusing on their children opened the window that allowed them to be convinced that dark is light. Now, the ones who came to train them were very clever. They began in a very subtle way, by teaching the parents not to worry. Their feelings were perfectly normal. And so little by little, the families were trained to accept the fact that in such circumstances, it was perfectly normal to feel some impatience, some frustration, even a flash of rage on occasion, which of course you must manage. And if something really disagreeable happens, you apologize. But it's perfectly normal to feel those things. And so little by little, in the name of reassuring and comforting the parents, especially the mothers, they learn to rely on their teachers, their gurus, their tutors who were teaching them the ways of darkness so that they could eliminate it, so that they could understand it, so that they could wrap their minds around the feelings that their children were feeling. It was a masterfully clever plan, one that struck at the heart of our beloved daughters. How could they resist? Well, they could have, perhaps, if they hadn't begun to lose their connection with us. The feelings that began to overwhelm them, the worry, the concern, and then the conflicts that arose with these children who were so difficult, and soon the parents were disagreeing with one another about how to manage it. The mothers turned more and more to their classes and their lessons, immersed themselves in trying to understand how they would learn to combat these dark ways. And that step, that turn of thought, took them from holding the light to doing battle with darkness. When that happened, dark thought forms began to appear for the first time on planet Earth. I hope that you are beginning to appreciate how dangerous and how pervasive are the dark thought forms on planet Earth. But this was just the beginning. They had no experience with such things. They didn't know that walking into a room and feeling discomfort and darkness meant that those feelings had been generated earlier by someone who was there. They didn't know that those thought forms were being generated all around them, by the children who were difficult and unruly, and by their own responses. And as their training continued, they saw that their attempts at discipline, holding the line, refusing to give in to their children, those attempts were increasingly successful in the short run. But the response to them created dark thought forms. And they were taught to hold the line with what you now call tough love and discipline. They were encouraged to hold fast against their children's behavior, but in doing so, they had to learn new ways of insisting that their children obey them rather than responding with love, support, solace, and the comfort that these children really needed. They had taken on a very difficult task, perhaps impossible, because there were too many of these children, and they were not well prepared for what was to come. The more difficult it became, the more difficult they made it for themselves by falling deeper and deeper into these ideas that light is darkness. That dark behaviors can actually be done in the name of light. And so it wasn't very long before a terrible event took place that changed everything. This is why we asked you to listen to the words of the song, the Copacabana song, because the essence of those symbols, those feelings in that song are exactly what happened. It was an evening when the families gathered with Hanran and his associates. By then there were many rather dashing gentlemen who came to help teach, to reassure and comfort the women, to help them learn the ways that they would manage their children. They were taught that what they were doing was strong. They were being resolute. They were holding the line and teaching their children to come to the light, when in fact they were subtly being taught the ways of darkness. This particular evening, a large group was there. It was following a very traumatic experience in their community. One of the sons was playing a game that the children had devised called Life versus Death. And in the game, the child committed suicide. It was believed at the time it was probably an accident, but nevertheless, the entire community was devastated. They sought out the teachers. They came together in mourning, in terrible grief and pain. As they talked about the story between them, the emotions were high. The parents were devastated. The confusion and pain was palpable. By the end of the group meeting, as all were going back to their homes, they rose to hug and comfort each other. The ones who taught them, the masters, joined in comforting and reassuring their students. Hanran came to one of the sisters, put his arm around her and drew her into his arms. As he did that, the tremendous electricity between the teachers, the dark ones, and their students became vividly clear. The wife of this sister was sitting across the room, quietly watching as Hanran enveloped his wife. He jumped out of his chair in a split second impulse, ran over and grabbed Hanran's arm. Hanran lifted his fist and struck the one we will call Tony. Hanran was Rico in the song. The woman he tried to embrace was our Lola. As Hanran's fist struck Tony, Rico's fist, you would say, struck Tony, he fell backwards into the stone entryway, the staircase. He hit hard. And at that moment, Rico, or Hanron, bent to his knees, went over to Tony and said, saying, "Oh my God, Tony, what have I done? I'm so sorry. Oh my God, we were just carried away. I didn't mean to hurt you, pal. Come on, get up. Tony, get up." And it became clear to everyone that Tony did not stir. Tony was dead. Rico began to cry. He cried out to God, "Bring Tony back. What's wrong? It can't be. I didn't mean to hurt him. God, don't let Tony die." The others were stunned. Tony's wife, Lola, bent down to his side as the life left his body. Others began to cry. Nothing like this had ever happened to them. They were confused. What had just happened? Most had not seen the moment. How had it come about? Why was Tony lying on the floor? They knew there was a moment. But as they watched Rico in his expressions of grief, their hearts were torn apart. Their beloved Tony was gone. And the one who seemingly accidentally caused this terrible death was bereft. They did not know how to feel about this. Their hearts went out to everyone, as they always had. They tried to comfort one another. They tried to understand. It was too much. One of the sisters, the beloved friend of Lola, in the coming days, tried to comfort her beloved friend. They continued their classes, and she was the first to come forward to try to comfort Hanron, Rico. They did not believe that he had caused this death, that it was intentional. Perhaps it was not, but certainly it came out of his dark feelings. In the song, the line is, "Who shot who?" Was it Tony's impulse to leap to his wife's side to challenge the man who was clearly putting his arm around her in a way that was not appropriate, was not loving? Tony knew that. Did anyone else? Yes, Lola knew. Lola knew what she had felt. She knew. For that moment, she enjoyed it. And then suddenly, her Tony was gone. Her life was shattered. And she sank into a grief that was filled with feelings of guilt, confusion, shame, self-recrimination. Had she caused this terrible thing by what she thought was an innocent? Well, perhaps not. Response to this man who had reached out to her. No one ever really recovered. The sisters clung to each other. And as they did, they sank deeper and deeper into the pool of darkness that had been created to entrap them. They began to argue with their higher selves and with us, but you don't know how it is here. You can't imagine how terrible this is. We have to do something. We have to stop this. We have to fight against it. Even though in their heart of hearts, they knew you cannot fight against darkness. All their training had been to hold the light. As their twins continued to do with us in the higher dimensions, anguished, heartbroken, they watched their beloved ones turn to darkness, to be swept up in this system that eventually entrapped all of them. Because, of course, they had made the vow to stay together. And when one went into the darkness, they all went. The brothers learned from this experience that it would be terribly dangerous for any of them to incarnate in this dark place, to try to rescue their beloved ones. A few of them tried, but no one ever succeeded. And by a few more attempts, the brothers learned they must not venture into this dark system that had entrapped their loved ones. Our daughters fell deeper and deeper into the fascination and the charm of the idea that you could defeat darkness. And as more and more of the children came into their lives, they became more and more desperate to find answers, and each answer led them deeper into the darkness, into the seduction that then became a fascination with power and with a kind of glamour that was bestowed upon them by the ones who had come. They were the powerful ones, the ones who then joined with the daughters to form what became the Archon Alliance. They not only developed a center of power on planet Earth, but they reached out to other planets. They organized. And in the process, the daughters became the icons, the ones who were celebrated, the queens of the darkness that had descended upon planet Earth. As the darkness grew, what seemed like the rewards of their position accrued. Although they were treated brutally at times, once they had become completely captured by the darkness, they were always rewarded with with fame and fortune. Much glory was attributed to them. They became the prize, the diamond in the crown of the dark empire. And the deeper they fell, the more anguished their twin flames became. The daughters had become so caught up in their moment-to-moment enticements and intensities that they nearly forgot their twin flames, they forgot their connection to us, and they became involved in what you have now learned about as the recycling into the fourth dimension. And so they never returned. They did not come back to us to experience their reviews after each lifetime. They remained. And as the many earth years passed, their twins, some of them, became convinced that their twins would never return. And so the first of the brothers came to us and asked that he be given a dispensation to be completely disconnected from the twin who was so far away and who had forgotten about him, and that he be allowed to have a new twin flame, one he could share his life in the light with, one who could become a powerful light worker like him. And so it was granted. And soon some of the other brothers asked to have the same, and they too were provided with new twin flames. I will not go into the whole story with you, but I will write about it for you. But how we managed to do that, and the effect it had, and how it helped many of those brothers to go on and to eventually complete this project. Yes, you are now in the last days of this, of what turned out to be this monumental project that is the ascension of planet Earth, which began millions of years ago and is just now coming to its completion. And planet Earth will rejoin brothers and sisters in the higher dimensions, and will at last be given their place as they long ago earned when the shift of the ages occurred. You and your beloved planet will take your places at last as members of the Galactic Federation of Light, as members of your glorious solar system, where there are so many other planets that you cannot yet see, who will join you, who will welcome you with honor, gratitude, and such respect. There are others who wish to speak. I know Sananda is here, but I'm going to choose now to ask our beloved Meg to speak if she's willing. And after she talks with you, we'll have Sananda come to finish our call. I know Meg is moved by this story. It may be difficult to her, for her to explain. She's all right. Meg has a very personal part of this story to reveal to you, and I honor her and her great courage, for she is one who has returned to the light, who is our beloved daughter. She will tell you her story. I'm just going to take a breath. Hello, everyone. You know my voice very well by now. I've been with you for over a year, I think, coming every week to these amazing shows. Thank you, Mother. I have been following Catherine for some time, over 2 years now, and became involved with a radio show after going to several conferences and retreats. I was very moved by the work, felt a lot of changes in my life. And started to notice and learn from the teachings about the differences between light and dark, the differences between when I felt in the light and in the dark. And I continued learning and coming, trying to understand more and more about the differences of when I felt peaceful and in love and calm and centered and full of joy, and when there were many moments when I didn't. Many moments of confusion, anger, rage, jealousy that I didn't understand. It was very confusing, but I kept coming. I kept wanting to understand. And then I came to the Temple of Light. I came here after hearing a piece of my story. I understood after Christine and Catherine and the other ladies were working in the Temple of Light, and they told me about the dark sisters that had come back to the light, that had come to the temple for healing, for retraining. They can tell you more about what their fate, their destiny is. But there was another story about a man who came and said he wanted to come to the temple. And he was coming for Meg, and he wanted to be with his twin flame. And his name was Henron. Very humble, they said. Very open. Very dignified. And they talked with him about coming to the temple. And that was the first time I knew a piece of my story, and it continued to unfold. Henron went into the temple. And I think you know another piece of the story from the letter written last week, that before he went in, he sent out a call
to all of the Archon Alliance to come to the temple. And they did. And since, he's been receiving healing like all they do in the temple. So I wanted to know more about this story, so I flew to New York. With these amazing, loving people here that I've known for a long time and trusted. And we began to unfold more as we all worked together in the light and in the temple with the company of heaven, with Mother, Father, God, with my twin flame, with all our angels, Catherine and Christine, Faith and Jade, and all our animals. And I came to understand that I was the incarnation of Archangel Faith, who had fallen with the story that Mother just said. And as she fell, there were more and more ways that she participated in the teachings of the dark. More and more ways that she developed ways to twist what people knew of the light into dark teachings. I have only a small memory of this myself, but I do remember parts of it. I do know it to be true. So as this story started to unfold, I started to get in touch with these dark feelings and understanding the differences between them. I could feel it, and everyone here helped me understand the differences, really understand and feel when we make the choice, when I make a choice to understand the difference. And how precious that choice is. It was confusing. I didn't understand what was happening, what I was feeling. I had to take a couple of walks on the mountain to sort of understand and reconnect. And then I came back. And I looked deeply into the eyes of my dear friend Christine, who knew I was love, who knew I was made from love, who knew I was a child of God. She remembered. And I saw in her eyes who I was. And I chose in that moment to come back fully to the light, to anchor into Mother, Father, God, and vow never to let go ever again. And now, everything's different. There's a light I feel in my heart. That I know is home. It's peaceful. It's loving. It's creative. It's joyful. It provides a way to connect to everyone around me. I had no idea it could be that wonderful. that I'm home. And I'm never leaving again. I wanted you to know my story because you all love me so. And you know I love you. It was just an experience. There's nothing wrong. It's just something to learn from, something to understand. But it's an important understanding that every moment is a choice. Every moment is a chance to love. And I didn't know that I was not in the light. I actually thought I was completely in the light until I understood more deeply what it feels like to be in the dark, what it looks like, and can turn objectively and to see the choices I was making and understand that there was another choice to make. And it's the only choice I want to make again. So I took a leap of faith. And I trusted the eyes that I looked at. And I anchored into Mother Father's love. And it was enough. So this is a personal call I make to all of you. To make the choice. To choose light at every moment. Choose light from every place in your heart. And if you can make your way to the temple, we are here. We can help. And if you happen to know that you are one of these beautiful sisters, if you know in your heart that this is part of your story, please know that there is light that could fill every part of your being if you choose. And there is help and love and support all around you. And to come. Come and be loved like it was always meant to be. And be surrounded by people who know what it means to cherish each other as a family should and leave behind all the worry, all the confusion, all the doubt, and to remember who we really are, what we were born from the spark of love from Mother Father. It's where we're all from, regardless of our story, regardless of our experience. It's just one choice away, regardless of how long it was. So come. Choose. Thank you for listening. I love you all. And I will continue to be with you here for as long as needed. Thank you.
Oh, dear Meg. Meg will take a moment. Whenever she feels these sad and wonderful and painful and relief-filled and joyful feelings. Mother and Father, come. Christine takes her hand. And we all celebrate together. This, magnificent triumph of the light. For Meg is the first sister, the first one who fell, who has returned to the light. And when she did, there was a moment when the universe held its breath, and she was welcomed back with such joy and celebration. It opened a door, a new portal that will allow others to come back. We honor her for that. And you see, we started speaking as Catherine. This is Catherine, and I feel Mother's voice coming through. Somewhere in the last few sentences, yes, this is Mother. I am here with our beloved Meg. And as you may have heard or put together from the story, her beloved Hanron, who was the teacher, who taught everyone to come to the dark, had listened to this radio show and was so in love with what he saw, with her intelligence and her dignity and her attraction to the light, that he decided to come and asked to learn, to be taught in the ways of the light so that he could become her twin flame. And this way, they chose each other. And so it is a holy alliance now, while they both learn and evolve and develop into the glorious beings of light that they were intended to be. It is truly a happy ending. And so our love goes out, and thank you, dear Meg, for your heartfelt invitation, call to the sisters who have waited so long, those who are incarnated here, who are the direct incarnations of those sisters who have now come to the light. Their higher selves are gone. We are sustaining them. They have been given life force through Father and I, so that they too will have a chance to come to the light. And their dear sister, has given the call. And we hope that the vow they made millions of years ago will still hold, and that they will feel the anchor to us and to their beloved sister. And they will find it in their hearts to all come home. It is a magnificent day. And we think of days here, as you know, as a moment or a week. Sometimes a little longer. But we look forward to hearing from our beloved daughters. And as you see, it can be a very happy ending, far beyond anything you ever imagined. And now I feel our dear Sananda here. He would like to speak with you as well. For he has been very much a part of this story since the very beginning. I turn this over to dear Sananda. Here you are. Thank you, beloved mother. I am so moved by the story being told here tonight. It is sometimes difficult for us to talk about these things even now. This is what we mean when we say there is no time. We remember all the events, all the experiences, all the lessons that have been learned. You see, I was Tony in that lifetime. I was the one who jumped out of my chair to go to my wife, the one I then called Nada. I have learned a great deal since then. I learned a great deal from that death. It is a pain still in all of our hearts that our beloved twins fell into the darkness and stayed there ever since. Yes, it's true. I went to mother and father and asked for a new twin soul. They created her from my own DNA, from their template that they created, so that I would recognize her energies. And they contributed the magic that only they know how to do. And they gave to me, my beloved Catherine. We have since worked on this project that is the ascension of planet Earth. We have given our hearts, our energy, and our love. And at last, we see the wheel turn. At last, we see so many coming into the Temple of Light. So many opening their hearts to this new day, to a new kind of love that we're creating, beyond anything that was experienced here before. As beautiful and as bright as the paradise was, it will be far beyond what we knew then. For we have all grown. We have all elevated ourselves closer, more completely connected with our mother and father, who stand beside us always, who envelop us in their love. We only need to open our hearts, and we become the light that they are. I feel nothing but gratitude, inspiration, and love for the millions of years we have joined together. My brothers and I, yes, we did hold fast. We were able to maintain ourselves in the light, even as those we loved so much vanished from our sights, from our connection. And now we have come full circle. Perhaps those beloved ones who left so long ago will return. And when they do, we will welcome them back. We will make a great celebration for them. They will come into open arms. Mother and Father will provide for them as they did for us. You see this beautiful love story. Meg and her Hanron. You see, Meg was once the twin flame of our beloved Michael. And here, in this very room, we have Christine, who was the twin flame created for Michael. And they embrace. These essences of love, who were created so long ago, they are sisters. And they feel the special connection between them. For they knew how important they are in this great project, in this great moment in the history of planet Earth. I love them with all my heart. I am inspired by their courage and their great love for one another. I invite all of you to join us in the Temple of Light, to find your place, to find your heart, to discover your loving family, and to be, as Meg said, forever in the light, where you never have to leave. As I speak to you with tears, they are tears of joy. I tell my story so that you will know and learn with me. When you are in the light, there is always a bright future. There will always be love in such abundance, you will never feel want. You will never be alone. It is impossible to feel bereft or despairing, because every day brings blessings, magnificence, beauty, and love. I wish this for you, all of you, that you be able to experience the enormous and overflowing love that we experience here. Join us, beloved ones, every one of you. I send you my unending love. I will see you again. I am your Sananda. Namaste. Namaste, Sananda. Namaste. Thank you for your story. Thank you for your tears for all of us. Thank you so much. That's a unique situation, channeling through your beautiful twin with such a story. It takes a lot of love and trust and understanding that this is all of our story. And I know you share to inspire us all to make the same choice you did. Thank you. Yeah. Just giving Catherine a few moments. That was a big message to bring through for her heart. Even though the end of the story is love. Yes? Regardless of the in the middle? Okay.
I don't see Luis.
We're just looking for our friend Luis to see if he can come forward with his very special story that he talked to Catherine about today. We're just looking for his number.
I don't
see it.
Mm-hmm. If he's here, I can't see it because he's calling in on Skype. So we'll have to arrange it. We'll have to make a special arrangement.
Oh. Yeah. This is Catherine. We'll have to make a special arrangement next week so Luis can somehow identify for us so we can find him on the board. Well, this is Catherine. I am surrounded now with such love and such joy. And the girls, the women, are all just beaming love. We are such a family. What a motley family, you might say. We all ended up in the same beautiful place together. It gives me great joy to be here with my family. And I wish the same for all of you. Every single one of you, find your family. We are here. And there are others out there who are now ready to come forward and join the family of light. We hear from you every week. We're in contact with many of you. It gives us great pleasure to hear from you, to know how you're growing, how you're changing, how you're celebrating your changes. Well, I will have another message for you from Mother God. She already told me that we'll be writing it starting tomorrow. I'll be posting it tonight. I will post the one she gave me today. That is the detailed description of the story that was told tonight. And then tomorrow we'll begin on part 3. So this is an ongoing story, and you'll be kept up to date as each chapter unfolds. I wish we had 10 people here keeping track, because things happen here so fast it's hard to even remember. So we'll look to see you next week, same time, for the radio show. And in the meantime, I'll be sending out several email messages. So anyone who's not on the email list, go sign up now and you'll get tonight's message. It's whoneedslight.org, and you just need to go to the link that says, the menu item that says sign up. And you can be put on the list. If it asks you for a state and you don't have a state because you're in some other country, just ignore it and sign up anyway. So we will now say goodnight. And I'm going to play, I've been asked, to play the song Copacabana again so that you can hear the words. And when you do, you're going to be amazed at the real meaning behind this song that I think was written for just this occasion. So, talk to you soon. Good night, everybody. And I'll pass this to Meg and Christine so they can say good night, too. We'll talk to you all soon.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, all. We love you. Christine, good night.